The best giving is the absence of possessiveness. Okay? So possessiveness is the mind that wants to, it is mine. It wants, you know, this is mine. It belongs to me. It doesn't belong to anybody else. So it's very easy to see this in terms of possessions. You know, this wooden spoon is mine. These chopsticks are mine. They are not yours. Yeah. And this blanket is mine. Yeah. It's not yours. I want to take it with me when we change rooms. Sorry, you can't. It's not yours.
What? It's mine.
Okay, so it's quite easy to see the possessiveness regarding physical things, you know, and how difficult it is to give up the material items, okay? But possessiveness has many other kinds of manifestations. Yeah, we possess knowledge, and sometimes we don't want other people to know what we know, because then they might be as good as or as knowledgeable as we are, and we don't want that, because then our reputation may go down. We feel possessive towards people. Yeah? This is my mother, my father, my husband, wife, brother, sister, cat. Pet frog. Yeah. They're mine, and we possess them. Yeah. So we can get very possessive about other people. And it's quite interesting to ask ourselves, you know, what about this other person is mine? Because just as with an object, you can totally dissect the object, and there's nothing mine inside the object. There's also nothing mine inside the other person. Now, somebody could say, well, we have the same DNA or similar DNA. But our DNA is not ours. Our DNA came from many, many ancestors before, you know, back who knows how far, you know, when there began to be DNA. So our DNA is not ours. And anyway, DNA is material stuff. It's not quite my, I mean, my DNA. Do you kind of take your DNA out and like, oh, that's so beautiful because it's my DNA? Yeah? No, I don't think so. So what about the other person is really ours? Why are we possessive of other people? We don't want to share them with other people. We want to be special in their eyes. Yeah? This whole thing of possessiveness regarding people has to do with being special. They are special in our eyes. We are special in their eyes. Actually, what's all that about? All that specialness? Does it exist objectively? Or is it just our mind making up specialness? Kind of our mind making it up, isn't it? Through certain contact, seeing somebody a lot, certain interactions, maybe you even have a ceremony, then they're mine. But what really about that other person is mine? And what really about that other person is special? If I look inside of them, is there specialness somewhere? Yeah. Well, they're often special because to me, because I'm special to them. Yeah. And we all like to be special. But being special is something created by the mind. It's not an objective entity. We create specialness. Because that living being has not always been special to us. Previous lifetime, we didn't even know them. Probably. Or maybe they were special to us because they were our enemy in a previous lifetime. Okay, so this thing of, you know, possessing people's specialness, we have to look at that, yeah? We may feel possessive also of our Buddhist tradition. This is my Buddhist tradition. Or in a more general way, this is my religion. Yeah, it's mine, it's possess, you know, I possess it. And I don't know if I want people like you hanging around my religion. Unless you root for it like a football team, and then we have more people than the competing religions. That's good. Yeah? This whole thing of possession is quite strange, isn't it? When we really look at it. Yeah? And to realize that in actual fact, I mean, in conventional speech, we say, this is mine, this is yours. But in actual fact, once we probe a little bit, there's not really anything that's ours. Yeah? I mean, when we came into this life, we didn't have anything. Well, you could say, well, I had a body. But again, our body came from our ancestors who went all the way back to, you know, the monkeys and whatever. And our bodies came from all the food we've eaten. You could say, but I had a mother. My mother's mine. I had parents. My father's mine. Yeah, what's mine about your mother and father? Yeah, if you have brothers and sisters, they also belong to your brothers and sisters. So does that mean you have that when you have 5 or 6 brothers and sisters, you only have a fifth or a sixth of a mother or father because you have to share them? Yeah, what is really mine about another person? Quite interesting to think about. And to see that there's nothing really that is inherently ours. Things come, things go. Relationships come, relationships dissolve. You know, if they don't dissolve this life, they dissolve at death time. And we become new people in our next life. Okay? So the best giving is the absence of possessiveness. So that doesn't mean we give away the people that we're close to. Yeah? It means that we can stop, you know, being so possessive of them, so jealous, so clingy to them, you know? You're special to me, I've got to be special to you, you know? We can give them, when we let go of our possessiveness, we give those other people freedom. Yeah, we stop pressuring them to be what we want them to be. Yeah. So the best giving is the lack of possessiveness. You know, when we think of this, that we don't really own anything, either other people or even our body or our possessions or whatever, then sometimes we get quite afraid, like, I don't have anything. You know? And this incredible craving and clinging come, you know? I've got to have something. Because we define ourselves in relationship to external objects and people and societies. And of course, we need to be somebody, otherwise we may not exist. So if we think we don't have anything, you know, instead of feeling free, we feel fear. Now somebody can say, well, how in the world would you feel free by not having anything? Yeah. Because fear itself keeps you, that mental state is so narrow and so limiting. Yeah? So isn't freedom more desirable? And when you have that sense of freedom, then there's so much possibility, there's so much flexibility. You're in tune with impermanence. Yeah, when we're clutching onto things, we want everything to be fixed and permanent. Yeah, when we aren't possessive, we're more in tune with the reality of things arising due to causes and conditions and disappearing, changing into something else due to causes and conditions. The more we can accept that flux, the more at ease our mind is. The less fear we have, the more peaceful we are. Because then every time we look at something, as they say, you know, we realize, you know, we have our special cup that we like so much. But if we say to ourselves, my cup is already broken, then we're realizing that we're not always going to possess this cup. It's already broken. So I use it before it breaks. But its being broken is in its nature because it's not going to be permanent and stay there forever. Okay? So same thing with people. You know? We've already separated. So let's enjoy each other while we're together instead of possessing each other, confining each other, having demands and expectations and possessiveness of each other. Yeah? Let's just accept that, you know, like I was talking last night, people are karmic bubbles. Come, come, go, go. You know? Then the mind is so much freer to appreciate individual beings because we aren't always wanting something from them. Yeah? And the possessiveness is very much we want something, you know? So let's release fear. Yeah.
I can understand what you're saying intellectually, but visually it makes me a little nauseous.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Mind goes, it flips to completely disconnected.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't have anything. I'm disconnected from everything. Yeah, so we go to this thing that then the only thing I have is me. So there's this big, solid, concrete me that is inherently existent and permanent, and that's all I have. And everything else, which is already gone and changing. But you have, you know, whenever we feel, you know, this kind of, we have to look at that feeling and what's the conception behind that feeling? It's a totally wrong conception, isn't it? Yeah, there's no concrete me there that's disconnected from everything else. I am simply, you know, affected by causes and conditions in the environment, and whatever I am in any particular moment is just the sum of the effects of these causes and conditions upon what was there the previous moment. Yeah? So we're definitely related to everything and everybody. Yeah? So don't take that thing of, you know, it's very interesting when we get into emptiness sometimes, what we do is like, okay, none of that exists inherently, but there's me. Yeah? And we gotta challenge that one too. Because there's not that solid me. Yeah, there's a me, but it's something momentarily that's changing. That doesn't have one identity all throughout life, that's who I am. Yeah, and it's weird when you start to think like that, just even on a physical level, how much our body is changing. Every time we breathe in and breathe out, our body is different and we're being influenced by the environment. Every time we eat food or every time we pee, our body is changing. We're being influenced by the environment. There's not one permanent body there. And my goodness, our mind. Yeah? Is your mind the same as when we started the talk? No. Our mind is different. It's influenced by, you know, the things that we're hearing, then thinking about, then processing, then mulling over. Yeah? So the body and mind are constantly changing. How in the world is the person going to be fixed and distinct and inherently existent? Impossible. Yeah? So we have to kind of relax into that. Yeah? We tend to like, you know, clutch, cling. And that's exactly what we do at the time of death. Yeah? So all of this is practice for the time of death. When you see that wrong conception clinging come in your mind, then, you know, process it and realize, hey, there's nothing there to cling to. There's something there, but it exists only only by being conceived and named. But that's it.
When you say process it, can you explain a little bit more?
Yeah, but what I mean is, like, okay, we see this feeling of, you know, there's this real me, and I'm separate from everybody else, and I feel threatened. And then to say, is that true? Just because I feel that, is it based in reality? Yeah, because we feel lots of things that have nothing to do with reality. And that's why we have so many problems in this world. Yeah, that's why don't believe everything you think. It's your mind.
But the aggregates is all involved in that.
You have, when you're dreaming, there's a dream body, but your dream body isn't this body.
Yeah, but I felt it in my
head. Yeah, so there might be another feeling that comes because you just dreamed. It's like when you imagine things. Yeah, if I imagine being with a certain person I'm very attached to, my whole feeling inside changes, even physically how I feel. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's a product of, you know, I'm relating to that imagined object.
So it was one of aggregate activity, the feeling.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's, we can feel things without there being an external object making our body feel something. Yeah? If we focus on something being painful, it becomes really painful. Yeah? This is when, if you have pain, if you imagine light going into that area, you know, it can help, you know, lessen the pain. If you do Tonglen meditation, yeah, it changes how you relate to your pain. So all these things are quite, you know, they're dependent on many other factors. Okay. Even our body, even physically, you know, if the cat scratches me later, even the cat is no longer scratching me, I feel the scratch. You know, when you hit yourself with a hammer, it doesn't just hurt the moment after you hit yourself with the hammer. It hurts a long time after that, even though you are no longer hitting yourself with that hammer. Yeah? So what I'm getting at is that things change, you know, and there's a variety of causes and conditions involved.